It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are looking live at Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN Primetime.
Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime, hour number two, presented by BetMGM. Mike Palm, nice enough tonight to sit in for Tim Murray, who's on vacation, myself, Sean King. But without further ado, we would like to welcome in our next guest because I need him. Listen, I've always learned you can't serve 10 masters. And man, listen, I have to go to others when it comes to Major League Baseball. So a very warm welcome from RotoWire, Jeff Erickson. How are you doing today, Jeff?
Sean, always a pleasure. Great to talk to you and Mike.
Jeff, thanks for taking the time today. I want to start off with a macro baseball question. We're into spring training now, so we're seeing some of these new rules up close and in color here. How do you think the new rules are going to affect odds making on games, and by specifically I mean totals, and then how you're going to attack your betting in Major League Baseball this year?
So they're trying to goose offense. That's the obvious goal here by Major League Baseball. Last year, batting average across Major League Baseball is .243. It's the sixth lowest batting average collectively all time and the lowest since 1968. They had to do something. I get it there. I don't think it's going to have as pronounced effect as they'd hope, because I think velocities are still way high. They didn't lower the mound. They didn't move the mound back or anything like that. There is a battle for the strike zone. The pitch clock will help with that a little bit too. Maybe pitchers will have a little less time to recover. But the velocity readings in AAA last year, where they had all these rules in place, they didn't go down. Velocity readings never go down. Strikeouts have been continually going up and up and up, and that's the biggest drag on run scoring. Not stolen bases, not the shift. That is your biggest drag. So it'll go up a little bit, but I don't think it's as pronounced effect as you might think.
See, that's interesting and fascinating, because me as a casual observer for most of the early part of the baseball season, it was the shift that I felt like eliminated so many base hits, so many balls that wouldn't, you know, have gotten into outfield and move runners and gotten extra runners on base. So you don't think so?
Oh, I think it'll help. But I think every time a shift causes the line drive to be an out, or someone beats the shift, every time that happens, the announcer dutifully points it out. We notice every time the shift plays a pronounced role in our game. And it's not that they're completely eliminating the shift. They're limiting the shift. you know, as soon as that ball is released, you know you're going to see some shenanigans. We saw that a little bit in spring training, a little bit here, with teams moving the left fielder around, sometimes infielders moving after the pitch is released. There'll still be some of that. And they'll take, and it's all about taking away left-handers. And I'm left-handed, so I take great offense at this. So no, but I do think batting averages will go up a little bit. You're going to see more stolen bases. That's the other thing. It's the pitch interruptions, the step-offs, the lazy throws over to first base. That's what we're getting rid of a little bit there. And the pitch clock in conjunction with that. We saw about a 20% increase in stolen bases in AAA last year. You will see a little bit more of that. But the biggest correlation to scoring more runs is more home runs, not stolen bases.
Jeff, I want to talk about two teams in the same division that practically have the same outlook from the betting market standpoint in terms of season wins and odds in the division. And that being the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox. They're basically 2A and 2B behind Cleveland in a very contested, you know, as far as the odds go, race for the AL Central, both with win totals around 83, 83 and a half. Who do you have a brighter outlook for, the Twins or the White Sox this season?
So I like the Twins rotation better than I've ever liked their Twins rotation. They have more hard throwers, more swing and miss than they've ever had. So that's undoubtedly a good thing. Can they stay healthy? Can Byron Buxton stay healthy and play center field? That is a massive question for the Twins. Because we've seen a huge difference between when he's in the lineup and playing defense and when he's not. It's just a huge, huge sea change difference. They tried to address that a little bit by getting Michael Taylor to give him some relief in center field because they had no other center fielders on the roster. But, I mean, Buxton also offensively is such a huge component of them, too. I like a lot of White Sox to bounce back this year. I think, first of all, they got freed of Tony La Russa. And, you know, the guy knows more about baseball, you know, forgotten more about baseball than I've ever known. But the problem is he's starting to forget a little bit about baseball here and there. And there are some players that did not relate well to him. Lucas Giolito in particular, I think, is a big bounce back candidate this year. I want to see a full season out of Luis Robert. I think you get a full season out of Eloy Jimenez, who lost 25 pounds this offseason. I'm actually quietly higher on the White Sox than I thought I'd be because they were very quiet this offseason. They didn't do a ton. They added Andrew Benintendi, who I'm kind of nonplussed by, but he does bring on base and some decent range in the outfield. But they got a kid named Oscar Colas. Also, I'm really excited to see a little bit more out in right field, too.
Yeah, I needed to hear that, Jeff, because I still had some open wounds from the White Sox last year. So I needed to find some closure. So I appreciate that.
I know you're higher on the Twins rotation. Obviously, you add Lopez at the top. And what can Maeda give you off a year missed after a second-place Cy Young finish behind Bieber? But which rotation would you choose to have? And it's not the Twins, obviously. They're still clearly the third-best starting rotation in the division. Would you rather have Cease, Lynn, Giolito, Clevinger, and Kopech? Or would you rather have Bieber, McKenzie, Quantrill, Savali, and Plesac?
I'd rather have the White Sox by name reputation, but the Guardians seem to get it. They always get the most out of their pitchers. And don't forget about the bullpen is a better part of that, mm-hmm. too. They take, you know, Terry Francona is fantastic. We know how well he does in managing the bullpen. When you bring a guy in, I think he's really good at that. We got a blank slate in Chicago. We don't know how the new manager is going to handle everything there. So that's a little bit of a difference there, too. So we don't know. I mean, I think I'd rather have the White Sox, but, I mean, Cleveland historically has done a better job managing what they have.
Of course, I'm always interested in the AL East, being from St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm a Rays fan. But this question is not actually just Rays specific. The Orioles really started playing an improved brand of baseball towards the last quarter of the season. Boston was abysmal, atrocious. Toronto, sort of like the White Sox, a lot of expectations, never really quite lived up to them. How do you see the AL East playing out?
Well, I think I'm glad you brought up the Orioles because I think they were a fun story last year and a hugely disappointing story this offseason. They had a chance to spend big on this on a great free agent market and did not. And I think part of that is because a lot of their money is tied up into this in the TV lawsuit with Masson and the Nationals, and also possible succession issues with the Angelos family. The two brothers don't get along very well. They're tied up. There's a lawsuit between the mom and one of the brothers. And I think that kind of tied up some of their money, made them a little less liquid. So they didn't go out and spend. And I think they've got so much good young talent. They needed like the one big bat at the top and maybe one arm. They didn't do it. So I like Baltimore. But I think there might be, I think it's 2024. The one caveat is young teams always get there before we expect them to. They did last year. I just don't think they take that step up this year. I think the Rays did some interesting things that they held on to some players and actually got some players paid that they never usually do. Like, for instance, You saw Pete Fairbanks get a contract. They never pay their relievers, and they did pay him. So they gave him a three-year deal. So that's a little bit different for their behavior. They didn't go out of the market and get any big-name players or anything, but they always overachieve our expectations.
Turning to the NL Central, Jeff, the Cubs bring in Swanson, Happ, Mancini, Bellinger, Hosmer. Win total set at 77.5. The window might be closing on the Brewers. Starting rotation is still strong. What is your outlook on the Cubs?
I actually think they beat the Brewers this year. I definitely take the over on the 77.5, and I think I take them over the Brewers outright. It's a malaise in Milwaukee right now. They traded away Hader at the deadline last year. They traded away Hunter Renfroe for a prospect to try to have a little bit more financial flexibility. I don't think they did a whole lot to improve their team, and I that bothers me. They had this knockdown, drag-out fight with Corbin Burns in arbitration where there were a lot of hard feelings afterward to save $750,000. I think that's a fight that could have been avoided. Burns is having a terrible spring, by the way, too, and they need him to be a stud. So I'm a little concerned about that. So I think they backslide a little bit. Aaron Ashby's not ready to start the season either, another big arm in their rotation. The Brewers seem to get a lot out of their players that are not necessarily highly acclaimed, so I will give them that. But I like what the Cubs did, with the exception of Hosmer and Mancini over Matt Mervis. I don't understand that series of transactions. Matt Mervis is a kid in AAA. He can be a starting first baseman right now today. His plate discipline is so good, got really strong power. Hosmer, he exudes veteran leadership. He knows how to run out all those ground balls that he hits.
So this is interesting, Jeff, and this is an inside joke. I have an annual Reds to win the NL Central ticket that I always play. Am I just lighting fire on money?
Okay, so I'm a Reds fan. Fire. You're stabbing me in my soul right here, but it's okay. It is. Now, I'll say this about the Reds. They made some good trades at the deadline last year. They have a lot of talent. They all happen to be able to play shortstop. But they're going to move some of those guys elsewhere. And the funny thing is their starting shortstop at the big league level isn't that great in Kevin Newman or Jose Barrera, whoever gets the starting job. But Christian Encarnacion Strand is making loud contact with every single pitch he sees this spring. Ellie De La Cruz is super fun. He is like O'Neill. He is going to be what the Pirates want O'Neill Cruz to be. He is going to be so much fun. Spencer Sears, a fun prospect. Nick Lodolo, Hunter Green, they've got some good, young, exciting names. But by the time they're good, they'll probably sell them off too.
I look at that rotation. I mean, what are they going to do? They think that Luis Cessa's going to give him 180 innings? I don't know where they're going. Jeff, we got about a minute left. Let's turn our attention to college basketball and be in the moment. Give us a couple college basketball tournament futures here this weekend. Maybe teams that aren't the first or second choice in a league.
Okay. Well, first of all, I got to say, I'm a Northwestern guy. We're playing on Friday. We're not North Wednesday. I'm super excited about that. In the Pac-12, I think Arizona goes far in this tournament. UCLA just lost their top defender. I think Arizona's probably got some value. Watch out for Wazoo. They might knock somebody off there a little bit. I think that's one to watch for there. I'm curious to see what happens in the SEC because I think it's just a mix of teams there. I don't know what sort of team Alabama shows up with any given night. Same thing with Kentucky. Kentucky is playing for their tournament lives still, I think. A&M's playing for seeding, but they can't shoot. I don't know. It's a crazy tournament there.
Jeff, we really appreciate the time and all of your knowledge whenever you join us.
Great stuff, Jeff.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Go Reds.
Yes.
near and dear to his heart are the Cincinnati Reds, and he's languished through some tough times. All right. When we come back, Puck Stradamus and I we'll break down the three games on the ice tonight.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Sean King on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back into Prime Time. I'm Mike Palm, filling in for the vacationing Tim Murray, joined by Super Bowl champion Mr. Sean King, a.k.a. Puckstradamus.
Yeah, man. And born and raised in the heart of hockey country.
Oh, yes.
Central Florida.
St. Petersburg, Florida. Got three games on the ice tonight.
We
talked a little bit earlier because I had a play on the on this first game. That's the TNT game tonight between the Blackhawks and Detroit, who are old division rivals here. Stalock in net for the Blackhawks. Husso in net for the Red Wings tonight, Sean. Blackhawks coming off a nice win on Monday night in Chicago over Ottawa, 5-0. Stalock was in goal there. Ville Husso come over from Detroit, has become the number one goaltender for these young Red Wings, 23-16-6, 2.93 goals against average here. Prices in hockey, these individual games, these
hard.
$4 favorites, $3. I mean, you have a team in Detroit, I think it's about 8 points out of the second wild card, laying 250 in hockey tonight against the Blackhawks. The total here is 6, juice to the under, Sean.
Yeah, shout out to the city of Detroit. Look, backstory here. I played for the Lions in 06, and we used to go to Chelios' sports bar all the time. And this was in the old arena. I went to see a Red Wings game, and this is when they scored the first goal, and they threw octopuses all on the ice. So a very unique experience there. I forget the name of the stadium. Was it Joe Louis Arena?
Yeah. You got it. The Joe.
Yeah, the Joe. So a lot of hockey culture there. They have a young team. They had a couple nice wins right after the All-Star break. They've kind of regressed a little bit. I'm taking your opinion on this. Mike likes under first period total goals. So under 1.5 for the first period. Got it at +110. I saw +105 when I got it, so I'm sure you probably can still get something slightly better than even money if you want to tail that play as well. Neither team really playing for anything. I do think Detroit's trying to build some momentum with some of these young players they have. Talented, but inconsistent. I'm never laying $2 with Detroit, so if you force me to play it, I'd have to go to the total, and I don't have a strong feel on that either, so I'm going to sit it out.
All right, let's go to the Central Division, and we go northwest.
The big game here.
We go northwest. Yeah, absolutely. We go northwest to Manitoba. The Wild taking on the Jets. The Wild have had a nice run post-All-Star break here, Sean. Have moved up to second place in the Central Division, 2 points behind the Dallas Stars. Winnipeg right now fourth in the Central Division, and right now they would occupy the second wild card spot if the playoffs started today. They would actually take on VGK if the playoffs started today. Rittich was in goal the other night when they hosted the San Jose Sharks, so you'll get Connor Hellebuck tonight, workhorse in the net. This will be his 49th game on the season. Marc-Andre Fleury, former Pittsburgh Penguin, former Vegas Golden Knight, gets the start tonight for the Wild. This is a rare 5.5 total in hockey. We don't see many of these anymore, Sean. The Jets, a short home favorite of $1.45, short by today's NHL standards. If you like them on the puck line, you get +180. 5.5, pick them as far as the juice goes on the total.
Well, it's interesting because I think Fleury played when Gretzky did, and he's still playing. He's been in the league forever. So shout out to his longevity. This is an interesting game for me because I view both of these teams as blue collar, meaning workmanlike teams that are going to check, that are going to play with physicality, that are going to be conservative in their schematic approach. And that's why you see the total reflect that at 5.5. I have not seen enough offensive explosiveness from Minnesota or Winnipeg to make me feel like they could threaten Colorado or Edmonton in a series. So it'll be interesting. I'm still trying to learn a little bit more about both of these teams from a big picture standpoint. Jets do a good job at home, though, and the Jets are probably in a more desperate spot. Both teams, Jets and Wild, coming off of a loss. I thought the Wild's loss to Calgary was a bad loss because they had the Flames on the second of a back-to-back, and Calgary's been really bad in that spot. But the Jets are at home. I would take the Jets in this game, you know, if you force me. But, again, I don't have any actual Puckstradamus plays tonight. But the Jets are probably in a more desperate spot because they are teetering, you know, on being in and out of the playoffs. You know, there are some teams hot on their heels there in the West. Minnesota's a little more comfortable because, as Mike mentioned, they've been tremendous overall post-All-Star break.
You know, I think Minnesota has got to come to the mindset that Gustafson is their number one. They're still doing a straight rotation with Fleury and Gustafson, a straight platoon system here. If Gustafson was in net tonight and it was the same price, I would look a little bit at the Wild at +125, +128, whatever I could find him at. Not as big on Fleury at this stage in his career. He meant a lot to this city, obviously, getting that franchise
him
started.
Him and Jesus had milk.
Yes, they did.
Fleury, old. He was old when he was with Vegas.
He's old. taking him to a Stanley Cup final. So it's a pass. I think it's an appropriately priced game, though. 5.5, which is a rarity. And then the nightcap.
You don't see that as a total.
No, the nightcap tonight. Talk about two teams not playing for anything. The Anaheim Ducks will be in Vancouver taking on the Canucks. The thing of interest in this game is Thatcher Demko back. you know, when we've talked about the struggles of Vancouver this year, and of course Bruce Boudreaux getting fired before he was really fired, and then fired, and Tockett waiting to get off TNT and taking over the team. Another bad team, a 250 favorite at home here. The Ducks goals ratio, their minus ratio, goals for, goals against, is top five all time. They're on a pace to be here. A really bad team. Demko back in net tonight. I'll probably watch this game just to see how Thatcher Demko looks.
Yeah, it's interesting because I made some money off of Vancouver. I think it was on Monday. Surprisingly, Nashville was a seller at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, internally, those guys got to be feeling like, okay, we punted on the season. So I won some money with Vancouver. I do think I'm going to be able to win some money moving forward with Vancouver, but not as a minus $2.50 favorite. Never taking them because they've been sellers as well. But I'm not back in Anaheim in this situation either. So as you mentioned, now you gave me a reason to maybe glance at the game, but I won't actually, from a betting standpoint, be involved simply because these are two teams, not a lot of motivation in this particular situation. But if you do remember one thing, I do think we're going to have some opportunities to cash some tickets with Vancouver as the year goes on.
You know, they made you sweat on Monday night.
They did.
They gave up. They were up 3-1 with. I turned the game off. All of a sudden, I look back. They were in overtime.
I was about to put them behind the red tape. I had Toronto last night. They were dominating the game, and then all of a sudden, I turn it. I go to get some tacos on Taco Tuesday, and they're down. And I was like, oh my goodness. But leave it to Austin Matthews and crew. They came through. I'm a real big believer of Toronto in the regular season. And the auto fade come playoffs.
Yeah, they just haven't done it. You got to see it to believe it, right? It's a little bit like Purdue in the NCAA tournament.
Very
too,
true,
right? I mean, you haven't seen it. I mean, even Gene Caney never even took a team to the Final Four, and Matt Painter's failure.
Can I say this about Purdue's basketball program? Mm-hmm. Whenever, and if you're listening to this on radio or you're watching this on TV, if anybody ever asks you who the greatest college basketball player ever is, always put Big Dog Glenn Robinson in that conversation. He was one of the best college basketball players I had ever seen. So it's interesting that even with him, Gene Katie and the Boilermakers never made it to a Final Four.
He had some top 10 teams in the 80s, and they just never got there. Let's get some updates here, Sean, on these tournaments going on. Halftime in the Big Ten tournament at the United Center in Chicago, and it's all Buckeyes. They entered the game as a 2-point favorite. They're doubling up the Badgers, Sean, 36-18.
I mean, this is a terrible performance for Wisconsin. I guess NIT, here you come. NIT's in Vegas this year, did I hear that, instead of New York?
Is that right?
If I'm not mistaken.
Final Four?
No, the NIT.
Yeah, the Final Four
yeah,
will
I
be?
I think so, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
We've had some great basketball here, including, I'm hoping UCLA makes it to the final. Maybe
it's at the Orleans.
Maybe Saturday night we'll go see UCLA and Arizona in a Pac-12 final. You've got Texas Tech money line. Is that what you
Texas
did with
Tech
the Texas?
Money line.
Said they're
yes,
up early.
Texas Tech money line, straight bet.
Yep, they're under 12 timeout. Texas Tech 15, West Virginia 11 right now in Kansas City. North Carolina, 11-point favorite in this game. They need a deep run in the ACC tournament here to have a shot at going dancing, maybe being in the first four at Dayton. Currently leading Boston College 18-10. We talked about UNLV earlier. They forced overtime in that game against
Air Force.
Britton Hess and his +7, where dogs go to die. 78-70, they lose by 8, the Air
overtime,
Force Academy.
Man, it's just the deathbed of dogs.
You had Colorado earlier on your ticket. They beat Washington the first round of the Pac-12, 74-68. And you had
Pittsburgh.
Yep. They win against Georgia Tech, 89-81. Earlier today as well, Wake Forest wins on a walk-off 3 against Syracuse. And who else walked off? Jim Boeheim ends his 47-year reign as head coach at Syracuse. Second all-time winningest head coach in NCAA history. Good luck to Jim Boeheim and congrats on an incredible career. All right, up next, we're going to make a little phone call out to the East Coast and talk to Thomas Gable, the director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata in Atlantic City.
Time with Tim Murray and Sean King on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, our team is here to get you ready for every game in every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets, tools like our exclusive betting splits, plus our big dance bracket and betting guides. These guides feature in-depth breakdowns of all 68 teams, Cinderella selections, bracket predictions, and picks on every tournament game from VSiN experts like Brent Musburger and the better-known Greg Hoops Peterson. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19. That's right, $19. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back into VSiN Prime Time. I'm Mike Palm, filling in for the vacationing Tim Murray, alongside Super Bowl champion, Mr. Sean King.
Absolutely, man. Happy to be here. Very excited to talk to our next guest as well. Friend of yours. You guys started in the business way back when. They were writing tickets in pencil.
They were. I mean, we were downstairs in the basement of the Borgata when it opened. We didn't know each other then, but then it all came full circle with the Lombardi Line. I'm speaking of none other than Mr. Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director at the Borgata. Isn't this past your bedtime, Thomas?
Well, no. See, this is really what a great night this is for me. Three big things happening. I get to share a show with you, Mike, and of course you, Sean. That's number one. Number two, I get to watch Patrick Ewing's final game as head coach of Georgetown in just tipping off in a half hour tonight. And hopefully Rick Pitino is on his way after tonight. And then we got Jim Boeheim's last game ever also tonight. So that was an unexpected treat today to see him ride off into the sunset.
You didn't hear that they extended Patrick? They gave him a three-year extension.
Don't say that. I'm really praying for no deep run here in the big tournament, Sean, please.
Thomas, let's talk about the Action Conference Tournament week. What's it like out there at the Borgata?
It's good. I mean, it picks up certainly today and tomorrow. This is when it really starts to pick up handle-wise for us in the conference tournaments. So, you know, it's the smaller conferences, I'm sure, kind of the same way at Circa. Not nearly as heavily bet with the public. A lot of the betting public who kind of just turns their attention to college basketball after the Super Bowl really aren't familiar with those smaller conferences, so they tend to lay off. But now once you get into the ACC and the Big Ten and the SEC tournaments and the Big East, that's when the public starts to get more involved and handle comes with it. So, you know, tonight we're have a decent-sized decision on this Boston College-UNC game going on right now. We're going to need Boston College to keep it within the number, it looks like.
Is betting there, I know it's the no pro team in Philadelphia, but is it as parochial as with football? Do you have liabilities, you know, generally? I know Villanova isn't what they were at one time when Jay Wright was there, but do you get those home teams there in Atlantic City?
Not as much with basketball. I mean, you do get some. You get some with the Big Five teams. And certainly, yes, when Villanova was kind of at the peak of their powers, you were typically taking a lot of Villanova money, and you always have liability on them. But, you know, with Jay Wright gone, and Nova's kind of, you know, had a pretty middle-of-the-road season for them in the Big East, you know, it's not so much. It's not so much where you're worried about the local teams as you are necessarily in football. Or on the professional side of things, college basketball. I mean, it's a big market in the Northeast in general, and so is the NBA. Just basketball in general is very big in this part of the country. Much like, you know, you find college football down south, college basketball is huge in the Northeast. But it's not necessarily, you're not seeing the locals betting on their particular school. It's much more wide open than that.
You know, Thomas, in your second life, you've become famous on the Lombardi Line and on VSiN for your Des Moines plays, which is your maybe off the beaten path college basketball selection. So you've come on at the appropriate time with all these conference tournaments underway. We still have a number of games to tip here tonight. What have you got for us?
Well, I actually gave Patrick Maher still bothers me for plays daily, so I tend to send my plays to him. And I gave him actually the over in Texas, San Antonio, and Rice tonight. Rice certainly not a good defensive team at all, and I know your friend Amal Shaw is not very high on Rice in particular, just as a team. So that was one of my plays that I gave Patrick today, and also I am leaning on the over here in the FIU game that gets underway in a little bit tonight.
What actual numbers did you get on both of those games, Thomas?
So the Rice game, I don't think has moved from this morning, from when I got that this morning. Let me just pull up my number here for that. The FIU game was at 142, and the Rice game, I can't find it on my board now. Hold on.
It's
the Rice game is 153.5. I think I got 152.5 on the over.
Thomas, what are your biggest liabilities as far as the NCAA tournament? I was going through ours here the other day, and I was surprised, a little bit surprised. Our two biggest liabilities are UCLA and Miami of Florida.
Well, we actually have some liability on Miami, and they're actually our biggest liability for the ACC tournament. They're not. I mean, Houston is a bad result for us, even though they've been one of the favorites basically all season. They have the most tickets written on them. They have the most handle on them. So they're not a good scenario for us. St. Mary's is we have liability on them, but our worst case scenario is actually Connecticut. And you know, we took some early money on Connecticut when they actually you know shot out of the gates this year, and then they kind of had that midseason swoon. Been looking a lot better lately, but yeah, they're our worst case scenario by far.
That was all those people listening to Amal Shaw early in the year when he was touting Connecticut back when they were 60-1.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and listen, I think when you look at the Big East as a whole in the conference, the top of the conference, you know, when you have UConn, Xavier, Creighton, Marquette, I don't think probably either of you guys would be surprised if you see any of those teams necessarily make it to the Elite Eight. They're all capable of making a deep run. Now they all have some flaws. UConn's probably the strongest of the bunch, but the way I really like this Marquette team, I really like them on offense. Obviously they're not as sound defensively as the others there, but they can score with anyone, I think, in the country. You can still get a decent price on them. You know, they're still sitting around 25-1 for the tournament.
Yeah, I got them at 28-1 last week.
Ooh.
I added them, and my portfolio isn't big. Thomas, how do you handle the NFL draft at Borgata? Have you opened up your draft props yet?
No, I have not. I try to hold off as long as possible. I know most of the other books in Jersey have had them up for quite some time. I just, I'm sure, as you know, Mike, with how volatile that market is, it's, you know, having exposure at bigger numbers and you know, plus the other thing you have to remember, I look at it this way: what's the limits that people are actually getting down at this point on the draft? I mean, if I can only offer, you know, a couple $100 on bet, I don't really see the point in opening it yet. I tend to try to hold off until March Madness is over to put those markets up, and you know, we'll have a full complement, but it's something I try to hold off as long as possible just because it's so volatile.
If we had our druthers, we wouldn't book it at all, Thomas. And
yeah.
I agree with your point about if you're not going to let a guy bet a nickel or a dime, why even open up the market? It's just, you know, it's in a measure as almost a amenity to the players that we put it up. But we feel
exactly.
we have no shot of winning. Get no shot.
No, and that's the way you have to look at it. You have to look at it as that. You know, you're more than likely going to take a loss on it. Now, we were fortunate the last 2 years we actually made a little bit on the NFL draft, but you go in thinking you're going to lose, and It's something you kind of just put up there because, A, you know, your competition is doing it and you want to, you know, stay up with the competition. And B, you know, you let the players have it, you know, have their event. And it's the same thing with the NBA draft. You know, the drafts are just, they're tough to book and they're tough to win.
Thomas, come on, you know the drafts are all analytics.
Oh, yeah. Thomas, thanks for the time. Good luck with the Rice and the FIU overs tonight.
Great stuff, Thomas.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you, my friend.
You don't think there's science behind the draft? Oh, come on, Mike.
It's a bunch of pump faking. We'll be back.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time with Tim Murray and Sean King on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back to VSiN Primetime. I'm Sean King, Mike Palm, graciously sitting in for Tim Murray tonight, doing an excellent job to give you some updates. Mike Palm loved the under 1.5 goals in the first period of Chicago and Detroit. I tailed him about 13 minutes, it looks, left, still a 0-0 game. Hopefully we can get that one to the end of the first period as a low-scoring, only one goal or less contest. To update some basketball, a lot of guys came on the show today. Jim Root and Jeff Erickson, and like Wazoo. Wazoo opened closed as a 12.5-point favorite tonight. They handled business, winning 69-52 over the Bears of Cal. Wisconsin was in a must-win situation. Looks like they're going to the NIT. As Ohio State is up 23 big ones, 43-20 early in the second half. North Carolina in a must-win situation. Thomas Gable from the Borgata said that they need Boston College to cover the 11 closing number. North Carolina currently up 39-23, getting towards the end of the first half. I was talked into taking Texas Tech tonight on the money line. The one thing about Texas Tech, and I bet them previously, they're terrible to watch. My advice is, if you're going to bet the Texas Tech Raiders in men's college basketball, just make the wager and go do something else. They trailed West Virginia by 6 currently. So a lot of things going on in the college basketball landscape. Conference tournaments just beginning. Some teams playing in the hopes of making a run and getting into the March Madness tournament, which will give them a shot to win a national title. Some teams just playing out the string. Very interesting, trying to find angles with which to wager when it comes to the conference tournaments.
Well, that West Virginia Texas Tech game was an interesting one, because with Mark Adams being suspended from the team, the head coach, which way do you look at it? Jim Root tended to look at it that it was a relief, that there were other issues besides the biblical quote about about masters and servants. But you also look at the distraction to the preparation. Obviously, the game's still in the first half and still within reach here. I want to ask you, Sean, because I have a pretty strong philosophy, especially in-game, about monetizing bets. So let's say, for instance, we bet $500 on the Red Wings Blackhawks first period under plus 110. You get to this under 14-minute timeout right now, you know, you're probably looking at plus 135, 140 on the over. You could make a winner out of the ticket right now.
Admittedly.
You could lock up a winner.
Yeah.
You could wait till it gets to a half and try to go over a half and hit the one and middle it. I'm always a big believer of don't lose any money on a bet.
Right.
So, but this game's gone pretty well so far. I like the flow of it. Maybe we can try to get to the under 8-minute timeout and then look at if we want to go over a half goal and try to hit that middle and win both ways.
Yeah, it's been a little sloppy on the defensive side by both teams. It very easily could have been 2 goals scored, but the goalies have made 2 tremendous saves. So that's one thing I'm always looking for early in a hockey game. Let me see what the energy level looks like. Are guys really checking in the corners, or are they getting back on defense? And I can always kind of tell those first couple shots on goal if the goalie, you know, was hydrating last night, or if he was in the hotel room getting some good rest.
I look at shots on goal as well, too, especially if I haven't bet a game pre-flop and then I want to get involved in a game maybe with a full game total or a second period total. How many shots on goal were there? I mean, there's periods where these teams only have 3 or 4 shots, right, and they're not generating any opportunities at all. And I tend to then look also, the game might be 0-0, but there was 18 and 17 shots on goal in the first. I don't really want to get involved unless I'm going over in the second period.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of nuances to in-game betting. I try and get involved as much as possible. A lot of times in a situation where you have these massive favorites in hockey, I'll wait till the puck drops and then hope that the dog scores first. And maybe I get a little slightly better number on the money line, especially if the favorite, you know, falls behind 2-0, because that's the worst lead in hockey is 2 goals.
You know, when we got to the All-Star break, there had been more 3-goal leads blown that resulted in losses up to the All-Star break than there had been in any full season in the NHL so far. So talk about your in-game opportunities. It is 2 goals, 3 goals, and even 4 goals now we're seeing.
Last night, on the show, I gave out Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was down 4-0 versus the Columbus Jackets. And I tried to get one of our production guys, Sean, to back me and go with me, and he didn't, you know, because, you know, sometimes, you know, those guys think they know more hockey than Puck Stradamus, but they learn. They learn, Mike. They just follow me. So Pittsburgh had done this multiple times this year, where they had fell behind 3+ goals and come back to win. I don't know what it is about those scenarios that bring out the best in them, but it's very interesting. They kind of have been that team.
I think, was it Saturday, they scored 5 goals in a 6-minute span against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, they put them up quick.
When they get hot, they get hot.
Absolutely.
And it's weird because their guys are old. Sidney, Malkin, like those guys are old as Fleury.
If I'm the Bruins, I don't want to play Pittsburgh.
You don't?
I do not want to play Pittsburgh.
Absolutely not.
Round, right?
Yeah, you probably think you can out-physical Pittsburgh and put them in some situations that favor you, but they're definitely going to make Omark be at his best.
Yeah, I'd rather, you know, Florida's making a little run. I'd rather match up with, for my ticket, I'd rather match up with the Panthers this year, who are more challenged defending. And
then they're so inconsistent.
Very inconsistent.
Yeah, like they're Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, and Bobrovsky, the big contract, I don't think it was worth the money there.
It didn't. I think they've missed their window. I think 2 years ago was their chance, and they kind of blew it. Then last year they fell apart, and I think their window's closed.
The problem with that window is that window looked right into Tampa Bay.
It looked
right into Amalie. So the window, I don't know if it was ever open.
Just because
of the division they're in.
Yeah. But I'd rather be a Panther fan than a Ranger fan, because if you're a Ranger fan, that's got to be extremely frustrating. You go out, you get Patrick Kane, it's not going to matter because you're in the East this year.
What's wrong with Shesterkin? I mean,
he definitely looks like he's been doing a whole lot of hydrating this year. He's giving up some soft goals.
He had never given up 4 goals in 3 straight games. He just gave up 4 goals in 5 straight games.
I knew that was an issue, Mike. They had a stretch where they played on a Monday and didn't play till Thursday, and then he sat. And I was like, something's going on there. I haven't been able to figure out exactly what it is, but he's definitely not playing at the level he was last year.
No, and so even with their acquisitions, I mean, I like a lot of their offensive players, but if you don't have Shesterkin, who, you know, we thought was a top 3 goalie after last year, I don't think they may not even be able to beat New Jersey in the first round.
It'll be a fun series. I know that. New Jersey's definitely going to put shots on goal.
Ohio State continuing to run out Wisconsin here. They've extended their 18-point halftime lead to 23 now with 13 minutes. Well, here could be the good thing for Las Vegas, since the Final Four is at the Orleans. If they can put together a few games, they'll be playing at home. They'll be a top seed in the NIT. Wisconsin brings people out.
You're
here.
Right.
Tell me when they're
going to travel well.
They come out when they,
man,
whether they're playing in the Las Vegas Bowl, the Rose Bowl, anytime they're out in the Southwest, they come into Vegas.
Yeah, I thought the Orleans last night was the home court of University of Gonzaga, because, I mean, they brought everybody. I mean, that's a private school. What's their undergrad? 8,000-9,000?
Tops.
Jesus, they brought everybody in the state of Washington. So some teams just travel really well. You're right, Minnesota's one of those teams. It'll be great for the city if we can. Well, with the Badgers, they're going to bring a lot of people. I don't think anybody cares about the quality of the actual game. Bring a bunch of people down here.
Have some beers,
right.
Have some fun.
Come walk down Fremont, stick your head in Circa. Telling you, it's a slot machine here for you. You got to find it.
And it don't matter. It don't matter what the temperature is this time of year. That's to the Midwest people. If it's 50 degrees, it's pool weather.
You're right. You're right. And interestingly, it's been rather cold in Vegas, Mike. I mean, it got cold in October. It got beautiful for a couple of days. Now it's going back. It's supposed to be gorgeous this weekend.
It's nice. It's going to be 73 and 76. In February, of the 28 days, 21 of them were colder than last year. So you're right. It was not a great weather month.
It wasn't. Then it snowed like 3-4 days. I was like, man, Puck Stradamus should love this, but I don't.
Yeah, it won't stick, though. I hope it will stick so my kids can make snowmen. But, you know, it hits the ground and it's wet. But nobody can drive in it. Fernando.
What's the guy that was suspended from Texas Tech? May?
Mark Adams.
Mark Adams. If he's in the building, I hope the coach asks him to come back. Because as they go to half, Texas Tech is down 8. Tap on the glass and tell Jim Roop, shame on you.
He did it to you. He did it to you. I was trying to talk you into the other side, so I laid off the game.
Right.
All right, when we come back, we'll recap all the top news of the day, as well as Dr. Eric Eager and Nick Bogdanovich.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.